Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, let's open our Bibles. Let's open to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. Father, we thank you that it's the roadmap of salvation. It's the roadmap of your will. It's the roadmap of victory. It's the roadmap of righteousness. It's the roadmap of love. Father, we thank you that it shows us the way and tells us that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And so, Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you, Lord, that we've received it and that we've received the Lord Jesus Christ and that all the promises of God are yes and amen in him. Father, we thank you that they're ours. We say amen to those promises. And Father, we thank you for the Spirit of God who authored this book through holy men of old, who wrote it down as they were moved upon by the Holy Spirit, that this word is God-breathed. And so, Father, we just receive it this morning, and we desire to be led by your Spirit to give us ears to hear and words to speak and comprehension by your Spirit. Give unto us, Father, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of this word this morning. In Jesus' name. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Romans chapter 3, verse 21. Restoring righteousness. We're talking about righteousness. Righteousness versus religion. Restoring righteousness, which is right standing with God in its simplest form. Restoring righteousness is the purpose of redemption. It's the purpose for which Jesus came to this earth. And contrary to popular belief, the Bible does not teach that there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans chapter 3, verse 21 is what the Bible does teach. It says, but now... How many of you would rather live in the now than the then? But now, everybody say now.
Now.
But now, you see, not then, not under the law, not under the old covenant, but now the righteousness of God, right standing with God. Think about that. Right standing with God. People often think, oh, what it would have been like to be in the Garden of Eden and walk with God. Well, you see, you have right standing with God also. Whether you walk with God or not is up to you. The Bible says, draw near to him and he'll draw near to you. He's waiting on us. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock if any man will open. Amen? But the righteousness of God, Romans 3:21, but the righteousness of God, right standing with God, perfect redemption, the ability to stand in the presence of God as if we'd never sinned, justified, declared not guilty. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed. Hallelujah. Even though it's revealed, some people have not found it. Hard to believe, actually. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets. In other words, if you study the law and the prophets, you'll see they talked about now, that which was coming. What is it? Verse 22, even the righteousness of God. See, Paul talked about when he was a Jew, he went about to establish his own righteousness, which is what religion does. Religion lays down a set of rules, and then when they keep those rules, then they're righteous. But it's not the righteousness of God, it's the righteousness of religion, the righteousness of man. Think about all those people who live in Hollywood who have their own righteousness, which is an abomination, but yet they portray themselves as wonderfully righteous people. What's manifest now? What's been revealed? Even the righteousness of God. Not the righteousness of man, but the righteousness of God. And how do you get this righteousness of God? Which is through faith in Jesus Christ. And who can have it? to all and on all who believe. For there's no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified, declared righteous freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. In other words, the only way to get the righteousness of God is by faith in Jesus Christ. Faith that He died for your sins and He was raised for your justification. Paul here is referring to then as the law, and the law, which was the bedrock of what became the Jewish religion, could not restore man's righteousness that Adam had and that Abraham had. In fact, no religion can restore or bestow righteousness. Paul said this in Galatians 2:21, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness came through the law, then Christ died in vain. Amen. If a religion could bestow, confer, impart righteousness, then Christ died in vain, because the purpose of His death and resurrection was to impart righteousness. You know, when God created this world and then created Adam and Eve, He expected to have fellowship with them. God does not have fellowship with unrighteousness. He cannot. So the Bible teaches that outside of being in Christ, there's none righteous, no, not one. Think about that. Unless he is in Christ, Billy Graham's not righteous. Unless he's in Christ, Mother Teresa wasn't righteous. Unless he's in Christ, the Dalai Lama's not righteous. Unless he was in Christ, Muhammad was not righteous. Unless he was in Christ, St. Patrick, who had a day last week, was not righteous. Unless he was in Christ, Martin Luther was not righteous. Unless he's in Christ, the Pope's not righteous. Unless you're in Christ, you're not righteous. You know, there used to be years and years and years ago a quiz show called the $64,000 question. Today it'd be the $64 trillion question. So that question is, how does one get in Christ? You know, we don't hear that term very much, but it was a common biblical expression. And since the Bible is the Word of God, then it ought to be a common expression for us. And it wasn't just an expression, it was an expression of fact. Here's an example. Paul wrote this in Romans chapter 16, verse 7. He said, greet Andronicus and Juno, my countrymen and fellow prisoners, who were of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Paul knew that he was in Christ, and he talked about being in Christ. He didn't just talk about being a Christian. In fact, the Bible says that the term Christian was bestowed upon them by others. Paul talked about being in Christ. Well, that's a foreign concept to us today. But we are in Christ. Notice also here it says, just as an aside here, verse 7, it says Andronica and Juno were apostles. That's also a foreign concept to people. They, for some reason, insist on believing there was only 12 apostles, although certainly the Bible teaches otherwise. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul says this, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. In other words, unrighteousness, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, the direction. You went like the world, you lived like the world, you thought like the world. You were conformed to the world. And who is the world conformed to? Well, it says, according to the prince of the power of the air, which is Satan. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. So he said to the church at Ephesus, all of you were once unrighteous, and all of you once lived your life according to the direction and the guidance and the leading of the devil. Now, people don't like that. People don't like to hear that. But it's the truth. If every one of them were, then everyone who's not in Christ is. Amen? And we wonder what's wrong with the world. Even Christians think they can legislate unrighteous people. But you can't. And it says, among whom also we all, so Paul included himself there, conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. You know, the mind is not a safe guide either until it's renewed. And we're by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now that's hard to comprehend, but it's not hard to believe. You just because you're believers. You have to believe we're seated with Christ in heavenly places.